There's a difference, isn't there, between singing and just talking. I'm well aware of it each Sunday after beautiful singing and people are putting their heart and emotion into these wonderful songs, and then I get up to talk. Yeah. There's a difference between talking and singing. And today we want to consider singing as worship. But if you think about that difference, it's a little bit ironic to even try to explain it with prose, with words, with a logical explanation as I'm doing now. If you think about the late 1960s, in the late 1960s, could be good memories or bad memories, I suppose, for some of you. But in the late 1960s, there were a lot of people talking a rhetoric that characterized what became a movement known as the anti-war movement. There were a lot of people writing and talking about this sentiment, but not many people were paying attention. And then, thanks to the breakup of the Beatles and the launching of the career of John Lennon as a single solo artist, the song that characterized and spurred the anti-war movement came along. All we are saying, anybody know the rest of it? It's give peace a chance. And you had these scenes of, some would say, mush-headed college students on college campuses all over the country, and somebody singing, all we are saying, and they're all singing along, is give peace a chance. And not one had really spent much time thinking about the rhetoric of all the anti-war movement thinkers, but they were caught up in the song. And it led to behavior, and it led to a movement. Well, our song isn't quite like that, is it? You know? Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers, peace within. We have a different song than that one about peace, but the point is the power of singing, the power of songs. And that's why songs are such a big part of our worship. That's why the Lord gave us singing, because we needed more than just the rhetoric to reach our heads. We needed the blissful music, the notes that you raise to touch our hearts, to fill our souls. There's only really two verses in the New Testament that give us a bunch of instruction about singing. They both really say the same thing. Pretty close to the same thing. They're up here on the screen. Ephesians 5, 19 and Colossians 3, 16 is what every good kid growing up like I grew up in the Church of Christ learned to say whenever somebody would ask you, how come we sing the way we sing? Well, Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16, that's why we sing like we sing. And it struck me in preparing for this sermon that I was sort of like, give peace a chance or something for me. I hadn't spent much time really looking at what those verses said about singing. I just sort of went along with the song. But if we look at them, in Ephesians 5, Paul is playing a bit of a word play. He's saying, don't be filled with spirits. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't get filled with the wrong spirits. The spirits lead you to bad behavior. But be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And from that, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3 is very similar. Colossians 3 says, let the message of Christ or the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in psalms with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And verse 17, right after it, echoes the ending of Ephesians 5:20. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. And so we just have these two verses, and they say something about singing in worship, singing as worship for us. And we want to consider what that message is today. The first thing I'd like to do, though, I want to focus on the Colossians text, is look at the context. Look at the context. If you go back, sorry about that. It's a loud cough. If you go back before Colossians chapter 3 to Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with the things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. So you may not think that this has much to do with singing. And I could be wrong. Maybe it doesn't. But it comes before the text that leads up to about singing. And so I think it probably isn't exclusively about singing. But it has something to do with our singing. And it's a call to us to be free to express our worship to the Lord. To not look at our worship to the Lord as the keeping of a bunch of rules. If you were reading John 1 this week, I hope you're reading John 1 this week. It's a good thing we don't have women preaching, because my wife might be preaching. And my wife said, why don't you ask people for a show of hands how many people got together and read John 1 this week? And I'm not going to do that. You can hold up your hand if you want to, but anyway. But that's what my wife would do if she was preaching, which may be why we don't have women preaching. I don't know. Because they'd be more direct and more challenging for you. But if you read John 1, and I trust that you did, I hope that you did. If you didn't, scramble this afternoon and read it, because this week you need to read John chapter 2. But get with somebody and do that. But if you read John chapter 1 this week, one of the things you read is that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the picture of heaven shining down on this earth is that law keeping, that's what we can do within our control. What we can do to control our behavior, what we can do to motivate each other, what we can do in this life is what Moses did. He was given law from God, and he dispensed that law out. And that's what we do, isn't it? We know that it's right to help people who are in need. And so we give people a tax deduction for doing that. Some of you might have not realized that, and it's too late for last year because you had to make that contribution before and for it to count, but you can still do it for 2014. But that's what we do. And now we have a really complicated tax code because we're trying to use laws to get people to do the things we want them to do. That's what we do as humans. And that's what this text in the end of chapter 2 of Colossians is really talking about. It's saying, in Christ, you've been born again into a spiritual kingdom, into a kingdom that transcends the elementalness of this life. And so don't stay mired in just what this world has to offer. Don't stay mired in just a human solution of rules. When you come to worship, it's not, as we saw, as we tried to explain last week. When you come to worship God, you don't do it by keeping a bunch of rules. You do it by having an encounter with Holy God and responding to that. And it's the same with our singing. It's the same with our singing. And so most of the rhetoric we've had in our church, unfortunately, about singing has been about the wrong things, according to this text. It's been about the wrong things. And so our singing ought to call us away from this world. And we see that as we go on into Colossians chapter 3, the first four verses. What do they say? Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Isn't that what you get into in those songs that we sang this morning? Isn't it that? Isn't it getting away from this life and getting into heaven and letting a little of heaven come down and fill your soul? Well, what we sing and why we sing deserves more focus than how we sing. The Bible, it talks directly about singing to each other and to God in these verses we're considering today. It talks about using songs to teach and admonish each other. It talks about expressing gratitude in our hearts to God. What the Bible doesn't talk about is style. It doesn't talk about technique. It doesn't talk about rhythms or key signatures or shape notes or other stuff that only Tyler understands, I think. It doesn't talk about solos or choruses or small groups or congregational singing. It doesn't talk about four-part harmony. It doesn't talk about using the overhead or whether you can see it or not. Just ask Don Casey. You don't need the overhead. He can't see it anyway. But you sit next to Don and you experience singing. It doesn't talk about all of those things. It talks about being filled with the Word of God. It talks about being filled with the Spirit of God. It talks about calling us to set our hearts on things above and not on things on the earth. And so verses 5 through 10 call us to put things into our songs that help us put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature, the things that the wrath of God is coming upon the earth, upon people for. Because we've been changed. We've put off our old self with its practices. Verse 9, we put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. This process that we've talked about of growing to become more and more like Christ, our songs ought to call us there. Our songs ought to lift our spirits and lift our lives there. And then verse 11, here there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. There shouldn't be differences among us, and our songs unite us together. There are songs that we can come together around, and we can sing. And I'm amazed, we can have a lot of generational differences about styles of songs, there's some songs that just transcend. There's some songs that just lift all of our hearts, and those songs are the songs we sing right here in church, as a church. When we come together, those are our songs. I was telling Jerry, I don't know how to dress anymore. As the person who gets up front, you'd like to sort of reflect the people that you're with, but it gets kind of weird because you guys all dress in lots of different ways, so I never know what to do. Just before services started, I was in the back hallway headed for the restroom, and I came upon a whole fleet of guys with hoods on, and I realized I don't have a hood. And what am I going to do? But, you know, even though we dress differently, and even though we come from different generations and we have different occupations and different education and all kinds of different things about us, our songs are what call us together. Our songs are what call us to recognize that we're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And they call us to clothe ourselves with Christ, His compassion, His kindness, His humility, His gentleness, His patience. It calls us to bear with each other. Bear with each other, even when you sing my least favorite song. I can bear with you. We need to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, since as members of one body, we're called to peace, and we are, and to be thankful. So, we let the message, we let the gospel, the message of Christ dwell in us, and dwell among us as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through these psalms, these hymns, these spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. That's what our singing is to be about. And so I want us to think somewhat about the types of songs that we have. The Lord has given us this instruction in Scripture to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Let the message of Christ dwell among us, to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, as we sing. And yet, He's given inspiration in Scripture, and you might think it's a different kind of inspiration, we should use a different word, but it seems clear when you sing these rich songs that God is inspiring people to write songs. He's inspired His people to write songs and to put things together. He gave us a songbook in the Book of Psalms in Holy Scripture, but He continues to move His people, the people He's gifted in the area of music and songwriting, to give us these wonderful, wonderful songs that we can share together in this way. And it strikes me that there's kind of three voices in songs, and I want to relate it to the ideas about worship that we're considering. The first, there's songs that are about God, where we're really talking to each other, but we're talking about God. Today, before we finish, I tried to pick the ones that you guys, maybe not every congregation, but anyway, this congregation tends to blast out and sing well. That's why I've tried to tell the boys in thinking about song leading, the most important thing is to have at least one each Sunday that everybody, that pretty much sings itself. You know, you don't need the leader, and you really don't need, if the overhead fails, they'll just crank it anyway. It doesn't matter. It's our song. Like It Is Well, I bet you guys could sing It Is Well without having the words. You maybe don't think you can. You just talk to Don. He'll explain it to you, how it works. Don has a little trouble seeing it, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. Just ask his wife. I think she was the victim of some spillage or something this morning, he confessed to me. But anyway, we forgive each other, we love each other, and we sing out. That's what we need to do. So these songs about God, like 728B, you know, there is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. We're singing about God. We're telling each other. We're reminding each other, you know, what we believe about God. And those are great songs, and those are songs that begin to help us have an encounter with God. Again, true worship. Worship that's in spirit and in truth. It has to begin with a vision of God, like Isaiah had. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. And He was huge. The train of His robe filled the temple. And I said, woe is me. We have to have an encounter with God. We have to have an encounter with God. Somehow, and our songs help us do that, especially these songs about God that call attention to who He is and what He's done and how wonderful He is. And it's not that you don't know. You know, when you sing, why do you like to sing that song, 728B? I know you do. Why do you like to sing that song? You already know it. There's nothing in that song that's new to you. You loyal church members here at Eugene Church of Christ, you know that song. But you love to sing it anyway because it's a reminder, and it brings us, even though we're always in the presence of God, it brings our hearts and our souls an awareness of the presence of God, and we can worship. We can worship when we sing that song. Those songs call us to have that encounter with God. Then there's songs that are designed to teach and admonish us. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. Yeah. It could be a Buddhist song, actually, but it's not. It's our song. But if all we sang was that, then we probably wouldn't be much different than anybody else. Right? But those are good songs. They're worthwhile songs. If you understand what God has done, you know, I think that says my life is short, it's but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Yeah, but still, you got to have a Savior, right? And so we've got to get to that at some point. But we need songs to teach and admonish us to do the right things, to do the things that we need to do because of what God has done for us. And then there are the songs. There are the songs that get personal and that speak to God, as the verse says, singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. We're still singing them together, but we're not, it's like a prayer. We're not talking to each other as much as we're talking to God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. That may encourage you to sing, But that's a song we're singing to God. We're telling God what we think, what we feel, that we love Him, that we worship Him. And so maybe you haven't thought that much about it, but the songs, they have these different voices, if you will. Voices where we're really calling each other to look at God. Voices where we're really trying to teach each other to do something different, to be better, to be more like Christ. And then songs where we're really expressing our hearts feeling, our souls worship to the Lord directly. I want us to, some songs are timeless, it seems. Maybe they're bound a little bit by language, but some songs are kind of timeless and they've been around a long time, and yet still kids love them and can get into them and sing them. Some songs are not so timeless. They kind of make it on the hit parade with the young people. They never really kind of carry on later, and you don't hear them that much anymore. I don't know. It doesn't mean they're not useful. But I think that's why both these verses talk about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I've seen that people have spent a lot of time, maybe it's pointless time, I don't know, but a lot of time trying to understand the difference between those. Why three words and what do each of those words mean and all their technical detail. But I'd rather think that the Holy Spirit through Scripture is trying to tell us, find some songs. Find some songs that you can sing from your heart, from your spirit, and sing. Sing them. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, whatever. But sing them and express your heart to the Lord and to each other. And so there's a new song for some of you. It'll be a new song that maybe you never heard before. One of the characteristics of my generation, maybe more so than generations before, is that we fill our world with music. I'm not into the show of hands things, but anyway, if you just think about it, I wonder if we had a show of hands, how many people, as soon as you get in the car, does your radio have an off button? Or is it just on all the time? As soon as you turn the key, boop, on it comes, and it's on whatever station. And more of us have discovered, I forget what that FM station is. What is that station called? We listen to XM, The Message, all the time in our car, but K-Love and some of those. There's a lot of stations out there. I see a few nods, smiles. Closet Christian music listeners on your radio. Yeah, and I'm exposing you now. But anyway, there's some of those songs that come along, and you just can't sing them like we do a cappella because they got to have a big orchestra or band or some electric guitar or something that really carries it forward. But this song is a song by Matt Redman, and for those of you that pay attention to who the artists are. And it's a really, they even have a big place in the one that version they play on the radio where they cut all the instruments and sing it a cappella, so I know it can be done. So if you know this song, just sing along. If you don't know this song, just sing along. It's not that hard. And it's based on Psalm 103. So in a way, it's a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song of some kind. Maybe fits that description. And I wonder if you'd stand up. It's not the invitation song, so remain calm. I like to give signals, mixed signals to people. But let's try singing this together. Hans is going to start it because he's got a better start than me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Worship Your holy name.
Okay, you can be seated for just a minute. So, thinking about worship and song. I don't know how many of you claim to not know that song, but it sounded pretty good. Thinking about worship and song, I just want to make 3 points, 2.5 points really. 1 point's the same point. It's about response to God, not rule keeping. If we want to worship God, we've got to have an encounter with God. If we want to worship God, then we need to express our response to God, our adoration for God. If we want to worship God in song, we need to let the message of Christ dwell among us. We need to have the message dwelling among us. That's why it's not the perfect program, but that's why it's a good program to read the gospel together. And I just encourage you again, read John chapter 2 this week. If you didn't get chapter 1 in, read 1 and 2. Get with somebody so that the word of Christ will be dwelling among us. There's power in that. So, don't be afraid to get emotional. I told my wife just before the song, before the sermon, I got to get up. I got to go back there. I got to pull myself together. because we sang some of my favorite songs this morning. And they move your heart. And as I said to some and on Sunday night, I think last week, that if you can come and worship and you don't get emotional, nothing happens, you don't choke up or something, what's wrong with you? Are you still alive? The Lord built those emotions in us. And then the Lord did an incredible thing. The Word became flesh. The Word that made this world came. It went to the cross for you and me. Oh, that's emotional. That's nothing short of emotional. We shouldn't be afraid to be emotional about that. And music is what the Lord has given us to express the emotion. PowerPoint slides is what He gave to address the intellect. I'll take the songs. It's about speaking to each other. So sing. I don't care if you don't know the song. Get a word in somewhere. They're not that complicated songs. Sing, speak to one another. Don was encouraging me. I'm sorry, Don, to mention you three times today, but anyway. Don was encouraging me the other night. He said, you got to memorize stuff. I think he was talking about Scripture, but you got to get it in your head because there may come a day when you can't read it and see it. And you still want it. You still need it. And the Lord blesses us with that ability. Ask anybody who's got some of those limitations. Ask them. There's things they can remember. And songs are part of that for sure. So sing. Everybody sing. I don't care if you think you can sing or not. It's not about the quality of our singing. It's about being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the message of Christ and speaking to one another. And so it's about a heart expression to God. Sing with gratitude in your heart to God. And if your heart gets into it, you'll sound really good, even if you don't. Just watch people in traffic who are uninhibitedly singing along with their radio. And they probably have it turned up loud. But anyway, I know Denise does that. She's laughing. But so bless the Lord. Sing like never before. Each time the Lord brings the sun up in the morning, it's a new day. And His mercies are new every morning. And so the song has to be sung like never before, from our heart. Well, we're going to sing our invitation song now. So for those that are looking for the right cues, we're going to stand, we're going to sing it. It's Light the Fire. And if you're here today and you aren't singing the song, you haven't joined the community of peace, who've been called to peace, who have the peace of Christ ruling in your hearts, the start is a new birth that Jesus talked about, being born again. He talked about it. We talk about it as obeying the gospel, because the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. And so we begin that new birth by being baptized, dying to ourselves and our sin, and going in, being buried in the water, and coming up to live a new life where Jesus calls us, where Jesus is our Pied Piper, if you will, and He is taking us on the journey of becoming more and more like Him. If you haven't done that today, we'd love to help you with that. We stand ready to do that. Maybe you did that some time ago, and the emotion's gone out of the song, and you've lost some of the zeal. The Lord wants to lighten the fire in you again. And